Well, North Cline, as Stephen mentioned earlier, today is Missions Sunday at Champion Forest, and we are honored to have Mike Taylor, who serves with the Greater Europe Mission Organization, to preach with us today. Mike is no stranger to Champion Forest. Mike came to serve on staff at Champion Forest as our student pastor in 1995. And so Mike and I became good friends. We got to serve here together for many years. He was all three of my kids' student pastor. And I can't tell you during Mike's ministry here how many teenagers sensed God calling them to full-time ministry. Only the Lord knows how many kids have grown up or in full-time ministry today thanks to Mike's ministry here. Two of those who were called into ministry, interestingly enough, graduated from high school, went off to school at A&M. These two young men were living in the same house, in the same bedroom, and Mike called them back to Champion Forest to be middle school pastors. And it just so happens that those two knuckleheads were Stephen Miori, my son, and our campus pastor, Stephen Morris. And so if you're wondering how Stephen Morris got on staff at Champion Forest, we can thank Mike Taylor. So let's give Mike a hand for that. And so as he comes up, I just have to say, when I think about Mike Taylor preaching at Champion Forest, I can't help but think of a famous department store, and it's Lord and Taylor. And so, Mike, we're really excited you're here.
British, isn't it? Is that English?
And buckle your seatbelts. I got to hear his message last hour, and you're in for a blessing.
Thank you. Thank you, Sweet Lou. That's what I used to call you on staff. It's a joy to be back. I'm going to not cry this time. I'm doing my best because we love this place. People here are dear to us. Lifelong friends. Well, I might not make it. It's just sweet, you know, to come home. This is we have lots of folks involved in ministry with us, but this is our home church. You know what I mean? So this is, it's a joy to be back here. I'm gonna challenge you today from Ezekiel chapter 37, so you can start looking, you know, grabbing your Bibles, and we're gonna do verse by verse through the first 10 verses. But I wanna just kind of share part of our story. You know, 19 years ago, I went as youth pastor at Champion Forest on my first encounter on an experience in England. And, you know, we get our spiritual heritage from the United Kingdom and from Europe in America. So you say, well, my spiritual heritage is my family or whatever. Yeah, I get that. But I'm talking about like the overarching spiritual heritage of North America came from Europe. And you know, the first and second great awakening is what really rippled across, the first one specifically, rippled across the United Kingdom. Wesley and Whitfield were preaching on both sides of the pond, coming to America. And it really was the beginning of the formation of our nation, and the Christian heritage that we have as a nation was kind of born out of that spiritual movement in the first Great Awakening. And the second Great Awakening also affected our nation, was born in Wales, rippled across the sea, and affected our nation. Even before that, 505 years ago, tomorrow, the Reformation took place. And we wouldn't be sitting in a Protestant church here in Spring Cline, Texas, without that moment. And so Europe has really affected America spiritually. And when I got to England on that first trip, I was blown away by how dark it was and how spiritually challenging it was, and by the lostness of England and Europe. And the latest numbers, this is from another organization, not ours, but another organization came out with these. These numbers are fresh from like 8 months ago, 10 months ago. Europe is now the least reached continent in the world. 2.9% of 780 million people know Christ, 2.9%, okay? Asia is 3.1%. So not Asia, not Indonesia, not China. Africa's in the teens, South America's in the teens of believers. Europe is now the least reached place on the planet. I'd love to chat with you about all of that at some point. We don't really have time this morning, but there's a lot of reasons why. But the gospel has been there, and they've turned their back on the gospel. The church was there, and most of our churches, our museums, our cathedrals are empty. And there's this incredible, hard challenge. The hearts of Europeans are really, really hardened to the gospel, or at least their understanding of it. And so it's an incredible challenge. And I was blown away by the lostness, even in 2004 and 2005, when we first started taking teams from Champion Forest over to serve in the northeast of England. And on one of those trips, the first one actually, I wrote in my journal, God, is this a place that I'm going to spend significant time in life in ministry? And I loved youth ministry. I did 30 years of youth ministry in America. A big chunk of those were at Champion Forest. I loved my ministry here. We loved the people here. We loved the church here. But there was this holy interruption that happened on that trip, primarily because my heart was broken for how dark and challenging Europe had become, England specifically. And so Cookie and I and our family began this process of praying and thinking. And, you know, it was agonizing, honestly, because we have so many great friends here and so many wonderful memories here. But we would sit across from each other at a meal, Cookie, and we'd drop the kids at soccer or whatever sport they were in, and we'd go to Outback. And I'm a cheap guy, so you can get a steak. Back in the day, you could get a steak and two sides and split it, and you'd walk out for like $9, you know. So we'd go to Outback and get lots of bread. So you get a lot of bread. You get all that in there. It's really good. It's a little more than that now. It's probably more expensive than that now. But we'd go sit at Outback, and we'd sit across from each other in our late 40s, and we'd say, what are we going to do with our lives, right? Not that we weren't doing something, but it was just like this holy interruption. There was this discontent because of what I saw. Europe is now the least reached continent. You know, when we went there for the first time, it was less than 4%. Now it's 2.9%, right? So that's kind of where this all started for us as a family. We began this process as a family, and so much of our gratitude to Champion Forest to allow us to walk. You know, I'd already left here as a minister, and you guys have basically been our sending church. You've supported the ministry since 2011. And it's just this wonderful, grateful partnership that we've had. And your teens are coming. I just left the juniors and seniors. And I want to say one word here about this church. This church loves young people. This church loves kids and young people. And Ron Barnes was walking out with me, and the room's packed in there with juniors and seniors. Packed, heaving, as they say in England. There's probably 25 juniors and seniors. And 2 years ago, there were two. That's because this church loves young people. They're trying to figure out how they can reach young people. Juniors and seniors room is full today. I just left there inviting them to come do the trip that you're going to be serving with us in March, next March. So be praying for those guys and gals. We'd love to host them well and have a great experience for them as they, like us, try to impact the United Kingdom. So let's jump into God's Word. We're going to read these first 10 verses, and then I'm going to just walk you through a few of these thoughts from Ezekiel 37, the Valley of the Dry Bones. So Teesside is where we live, the northeast of England. It's called the Tees Valley. And so God kind of gave us this passage to pray over. We pray over these verses all the time. We cry out to God daily for England and for Europe, that what once was a really, really bright candle that burned for the gospel and sent missionaries all over the world is now needing missionaries. And it's a really dry, dark place spiritually. And so this is our passage that we pray for England and for Europe. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out in the spirit of the Lord, and he set me down in the middle of the valley, and it was full of bones. And he led me around among them, and behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley, and behold, they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, you know. And then he said to me, prophesy over these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter you and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you and cause flesh to come upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you and you shall live and you shall know that I am the Lord. Ezekiel said, so I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a sound, and behold, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. And I looked, and behold, there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said, God said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied, as he commanded me. And the breath came into them, and they lived, and they stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. Would you pray with me? Lord, we pray that you would take your word this morning and that you would do what you say in Hebrews, that you would bring it to life, that it would be living and active and sharp, that it would pierce our hearts, it would do spiritual surgery in us and shape us and fashion us so that we're never the same. God, I don't want to be the same after today. I don't want to be the same after this encounter with you today. And I pray that over every person in this room, every person under the sound of my voice, God, that we would not be the same as a result of colliding with your truth in Scripture and your word by your Spirit. Would you speak to us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're going to walk kind of verse by verse through these 10 verses. And see, you guys are the second service, so I don't have a clock on me. Oh, I do, actually. Sorry. Okay, well, we'll be done in a decent amount of time for you to have dinner. Okay, all right. So, just kidding. So, verse 1. I want to read these few words of this first verse. The hand of the Lord was upon me. And sometimes I kind of walk right past the Lord here, okay? And I don't want to do that. I really wanted to remind the earlier crowd this morning, this is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords that you serve. When we see the hand of the Lord was upon me, we sang about him this morning. He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's worthy of your attention this morning, and he's worthy of your life from this moment forward. And so when the Lord speaks to Ezekiel and says, the hand of the Lord was upon me, I don't want you to blow past that thought that the King of the universe, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, his design is to use you. The hand of the Lord was upon me. So the first thing I want you to ponder with me this morning is God's hand, the King of the universe's hand, is on you. He's on you. Just like in Ezekiel's day, right here, right now, October 29th, 2023, the King of the universe, the Lord of heaven and earth, is tapping you on the shoulder this morning, and he's saying, my hand is on you. Wherever you go, wherever your foot falls this week, wherever God takes you, the Lord's hand is on you. You are his instrument. You are his instrument. So if you're a follower of Jesus, like if you're in this room today or watching online or wherever this is being broadcast, if you're hearing this today, you need to recognize that the hand of the Lord is on you. You're a follower of Jesus. You need to recognize that you are plan A for the gospel advancing in your sphere of influence, and there is no other plan. There's no plan B. There's plan A, and it's you, and it's me. Now, I don't want to discount the supernatural, because I know people personally who have dreamt of Isa as a Muslim and committed their life to Jesus. Now, that's outside the normal. It's the supernatural. But God's primary plan from the birth of the church was that you and I are his instruments of advancing the gospel and multiplying disciples. He has always only used, by and large, not I don't want to discount the incredible supernatural work of the Holy Spirit where someone could say, I need Jesus and give their life to Jesus. But by and large, God uses ordinary people just like you and just like me to advance the gospel and carry out the extraordinary work of transformation that takes place in people's lives. And so that's the first thing I want you to get from Ezekiel 37, is that the hand of the Lord, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, is on you today. He's tapping your shoulder today. He's tapping you on the heart today. He's saying, I want you to join me in the advancement of the gospel and the multiplying of disciples. Now, that either fires you up and flips your switch, like, I'm all in, God. I'm ready to go do this. Or it terrifies you that you're his instrument. And you're just like, there's no way I could be God's instrument. Don't discount the transformation in your own life, what God has done in you. You are his chosen instrument. God's hand is upon you. The second thing I want you to see from Ezekiel 37:1 is the hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out in the spirit of the Lord. So the second thing is he leads us by his spirit. Jesus Christ hung on a cross, was dead, buried, and resurrected. He hung out with the disciples, and the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2 descended on the disciples and filled the disciples. And from that moment forward, the church has gone forward by his spirit. Salvation is a moment in time. I gave my life to Christ quite extraordinarily. Didn't grow up in church. Met a guy at a pizza joint. He invited me to go to Colorado. I was 16. Never met the guy. My parents let me go. Not great parenting. And like 2 weeks later, I'm in Colorado with a group of guys I didn't even know, most of them, and I commit my life to Jesus, right? Crazy, like brought out of darkness into light. That, if that's you and that's happened to you, that moment in time was salvation. But from that point forward, you are led by and walk with and experience and encounter the presence of Christ through the Holy Spirit. He leads us by his spirit. He brought me out in the spirit of the Lord. So let's unpack what this looks like for you and I personally. The first thing is God's vision and mission is uniquely personal. So we're talking about missions today. This is Mission Sunday. And I believe every person in this room is a missionary. If you name the name of Jesus, you're on mission. So that means wherever your foot falls this week, you are God's instrument, God's plan A to take the gospel. God's hand is on you, and you and I are led by his spirit. And every encounter, every opportunity is an opportunity for you and me to take the light of Christ and the truth of the gospel into a really, really dark place. Your co-work space, your co-workers, your school, wherever your foot falls is mission. Right? He leads us by his spirit. So God's vision and mission is uniquely personal. It's about stage of life. It's about giftings. So like today, you know, if a bunch of teenagers decided, man, I want to be a missionary, I want to go to the nations, that'd be amazing. We'd all clap. I can't clap, but we'd all clap and we'd be excited. But stage of life, they're not ready to go to the United Kingdom if they're 15, I say that, but anyway, or 14 or 13 or 12 or whatever. They're not ready at stage of life. But when they're 19 or 20 or 21, man, they might be ready. Some of you are like, man, I'm 50, I'm 60, I'm 70. I'll take all of y'all, okay? We'll all go right now, right? Stage of life. Where are you? Maybe you're a young adult, maybe you're a young family. You're like, there's no way I could be on mission. Yeah, you can. It's stage of life. It's giftings. It's just different now. Like we used to think this is what a missionary is. They pack all their stuff and they move across an ocean and they plant churches. Well, we want to do that. That's primarily what we do. But But we do it in so many different ways now, right? So maybe you have the gift of hospitality and you're just really good at hosting people and taking care of people and loving people well, right? Well, you're a missionary. You could be a missionary here, or I've got this amazing couple in Spain, and she was a dental hygienist and he was a contractor, and kind of like Cookie and I, they looked at each other across a cup of coffee one day and they said, what are we doing with our lives? There's got to be more to life than this. And so, you know what they're doing right now? They live in Spain, and they run a cafe, and they have a food truck, and it's on the Camino de Santiago. I don't know if you've ever heard of that, but it's a spiritual pilgrimage. Hundreds of thousands of people from all over the world walk this walk every year from April to November to find God. And so this couple, because they're passionate about the gospel and passionate about hospitality, they bought this food truck and they put it 20 kilometers ahead of their cafe, and they're out there every day passing out Gospels of John and water and making pizza and just giving it to people, you know, and they're having gospel conversations here, and they say, listen, when you get to Viana, come to our cafe. And so they're seeing 500 people a day walk past their food truck, giving them Gospels of John, sharing the gospel, hoping they come to Christ, praying with people, having Jesus services, washing people's feet on the Camino. It's crazy, right? That's not hard. It's just hospitality. It's loving people well. So being a missionary and living for Christ is being led by the Holy Spirit, and it's vision and mission for all of us is uniquely personal. I'm not daft enough to think that every person in this room is meant to hop an ocean and live as a missionary for the next 10 years. I don't believe that's true. I believe some of you are called to stay right here. And wherever your foot falls here, you're a missionary. It's about personal, unique to you. What is God saying to you? Stages of life and your giftings. So it's uniquely personal. It's based on the need of the moment. What does God need? What is God saying? What is God calling you to? And it's also born in prayer. You and I actively pursuing Jesus, crying out to him, calling out to him. God, what do you want from me right now? Where am I at this moment in time? And am I right in the center of your will? It's crying out to the Lord. It's born in prayer. It's not just ticking a box. It's not just reading my Bible casually. It's like opening it up. God, speak to me today. I want to hear from your Holy Spirit. I want you to communicate to me from your word. I want to listen and obey. And so it's born in prayer. It necessitates recognizing and listening and walking with the Holy Spirit. Listening and recognizing the Spirit of God speaking and leading you in your life. This just can't be casual anymore. It's about you and I really walking with Jesus. And then number four there, it requires sacrifice. Laying down your wants. Laying down your desires. God, what do you want from our family in this moment? What do you want from me as a single in this moment? What do you want from me as a grandparent in this moment? And being willing to lay what you want on the altar of what God wants. It's sacrifice. You know, Paul said to the Galatians, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives within me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. It's a life of taking up the cross daily. Sacrifice. Jesus told his disciples in Luke chapter 9, if anyone will come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. What does that look like to deny yourself? Well, I believe denying yourself is saying no to the things that the world says yes to. So our want for the world has to diminish as we lean closer into Jesus, right? He takes away the want of the trinkets of the world. And so it requires sacrifice. And then lastly, it demands obedience. What is God saying to you? He leads us by his Spirit. It demands an obedient heart. The third thing I want you to see from this passage is the next part of this verse. He brought me out in the Spirit of the Lord, and he set me down in the middle of a valley, and it was full of bones. So the third thing I want you to see is he calls us out and into hard things. Most of us would love to live on a mountaintop, or at least experience mountaintop experiences, you know, where we can get away, and those kind of moments bring us life and vision and excitement. But God most often chooses to use you and use me in the difficult places and spaces in our lives. Do hard things for the glory of God. And lay your life on the altar today and say, God, I'll do whatever you want me to do. Hard things like when God told Abraham to take Isaac up to the Mount of Moriah, top of Moriah, and sacrifice him on the altar. Abraham could have done a number of things, but he chose to do the hard thing, obey the Lord, right? And we know God's provision is supernatural. And so in that hard thing, God met Abraham at the point of his need and provided the ram for the sacrifice. Could be Daniel and his friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Could be the fiery furnace. Could be the lion's den. God's calling us to live a certain way so that it's hard, right? It's challenging. It's pushing us to utter total dependence on the Lord. And this calling isn't for a sacred few super Christians. It's for all of us. If your DNA, if you've been born again and your DNA is Jesus Christ, you're a believer, then your DNA is the mission of God. Like every time you gather here and worship, what's the ultimate end of a Sunday morning experience? Community? Certainly. Great. Being challenged from Scripture? Certainly. Great. Those are all the ultimate ends, but the ultimate, the preeminent end of worship is the mission of God. Like if you just show up on Sunday after Sunday after Sunday and your heart is not stirred for the mission of God, you are numb and you're comfortable. And I want to challenge you to get out of your comfort zone and do hard things. Listen, casual, cultural Christianity is over. There's too much at stake right now. Our world is in a tailspin, and you can't play cultural Christianity anymore. You're either all in or you're not. You're either all in or you're not. And God's calling us by his Spirit into hard things. Tough word this morning. He calls us into faith. Look at the next part of this passage. He says right here, he led him around among the surface of the valley, and they were very dry. And he said to me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" Now, why in the world would the king of the universe ask Ezekiel a question? The king of the universe knows the answer, right? And so he's calling you and me into hard things. He's calling us into faith. This is what he's doing. He knows the answer. Why would he say, "Son of man, can these bones live?" Because he's about to do something, and he's inviting Ezekiel to join him. You see that? This is the wonder and the adventure of Christianity, is that you're God's primary instrument for the gospel to advance. This is meant to be an adventure. It's not meant to be casual. This is meant to be an experience moment by moment with God, the King of the universe. He's going to do something, and he's about to do it, and he's asking Ezekiel if this can happen. He's inviting Ezekiel to join him by faith. What does the Bible say about faith? The Bible says faith is trust. Faith is total dependence. Faith is utterly relying on God for everything. And most of us, y'all, most of us, we rarely get there. I've trusted Christ with my life. That's faith. But I'm talking about on the daily, on the moment by moment. Are you living by faith? What are you doing today that's of faith? The Bible says whatever is not of faith is sin. And so God's inviting us into this story of faith that he's about to do. I love that God asks Ezekiel this question. What question is God asking you today? What is he inviting you into today that's of faith? That if he doesn't do it, it's not going to happen. That's faith. Everything else is just kind of routine. Amen. This is where the adventure of Christianity is real, is that moment by moment, day by day, God's inviting you and me to live a life of faith. And that is a journey of utter dependence. Francis Chan kind of really challenged me in this from his book, Forgotten God. He kind of uses this phrase, why do you need the Comforter, the Holy Spirit? Why do you need the Comforter if you're comfortable? Well, that's shocking. I mean, that alarmed me. Like, I'm so used to my routine and my way of life and my existence that I'm not living in utter dependence on the Spirit of God because I'm living in relative comfort. And that's the numbingness of our cultural Christianity that God's trying to wake us up from today. Okay? And so he's inviting Ezekiel to live by faith. And so I want to ask you a question. What could you dream about for the glory of God today? What kind of God-sized dream could God be stirring in your heart that is only going to be accomplished by faith? Could it be your neighbors coming to Christ? Could it be your family that's far from God coming back to God or coming to know Jesus Christ? Could it be God stirring your heart for your coworkers in a way that's going to move you out of your comfort zone? And I'm not just going to be casual about my faith or who Jesus is, but I'm going to walk in power and authority and under the presence of the Holy Spirit, a yielded life. What kind of dreams are God stirring in your heart? What would it look like for your family to maybe press into living a different way so you could send missionaries? Or maybe as a family, you'd wrestle with the idea of selling all your trinkets and hop on an ocean and go do ministry in a place that's desperate and dark and so far away from God that they don't even want to have a conversation. What kind of dreams are you dreaming today for the glory of God and for the kingdom? He calls us into faith. And faith is risk. It's risky. And what I'm inviting you into is this grand adventure of risk and dependency on God and intimacy with God that only comes through risk. You see that equation? Risk, I'm stepping out in faith. I'm living utterly dependent on who he is. And there's an intimacy with God that comes from knowing him in that way. And that's outside our comfort zones. And so he's calling us into faith. The next thing here is what happens next is so powerful and unexplainable. Ezekiel responds and says, Lord, you alone know if this can happen. Can these bones live again? And it's like, to me, it's like he humbly and prayerfully cried out to God and responded to God's question, and God does the unexplainable. So the next point is humility, prayer, and obedience lead to the unexplainable. And it's almost like a transaction takes place. God says, can this happen? Ezekiel responds with a humble heart, and God says, okay, buckle up, here we go. Something's about to happen. And so Ezekiel does what God tells him to do. So I prophesied. And he began to speak this declaration of truth that these dry bones were going to come back together and they were going to stand up as a great army. And so God does the unexplainable. So humility, prayer, and obedience lead to the unexplainable. I love that. I love it. I love the idea that God calls us into something and it's like this transaction happens as we step into what he calls us into. We move out of our comfort zone into faith and God does the supernatural, the unexplainable. And so God began to do. And that's what we want as believers. We want to see God work. We want to see God move. We want to see God do what only God can do. From death to life, from dryness to growth. We want to see the movement, the transformation, the power of God at work. And it comes with this humble, prayerful, obedient life. And the last thing here, really quick. The Holy Spirit of God brings life and life change. So what happens? This last part of the passage, the bones have come together and all that has taken place. They've been fashioned back together, and God says there's no breath in them. And he gives Ezekiel one more command. Cry out that the wind would come, the breath of God would come. Now, this word breath in Hebrew is the word ruach, okay? And it's symbolic of the Spirit of God, all right? It's the same word in Genesis when God spoke the word and the worlds came into order, creation. He did it quite differently with man. He fashioned man from the dust or the earth. And the scripture says that God leaned into man and breathed the breath of God in the nostrils of man. And that's what separates humanity from every other created thing, is the breath of God, the Spirit of God. And so that's the same word here. And so what he's saying is that it's the Spirit of God that moves, that brings life and transformation. And so the way I view this is this parallel picture of our job is to do all of the declaring and the communicating and doing in obedience what God's calling us to do, to take the gospel to our neighbors and the nations. And everywhere your foot falls, we're declaring the truth of who he is. But it's the Spirit of God that brings salvation and transformation, and life comes. And so the wind in scripture, the breath here in this passage is also paralleled in Acts chapter 2 when the Holy Spirit, the wind blew and the Spirit of God descended on the disciples. It's the same thing. We're asking God, God, would you fill us? And we want to be a part of your army to take the gospel to our neighbors and the nations. And we're going to do all we can to declare who he is. But it's the Spirit of God that comes and changes people's lives. Like he's changed mine. Like he's changed yours. So how does all this affect you and me? Real quick and we're done. This is about you. And this is about me. And this is about now. Not Ezekiel thousands of years ago. God wants to use you right now. And you and I are surrounded by multiple valleys of decay and death, lostness, hopelessness, brokenness. Everywhere you turn, people need Jesus. And so God's calling you and he's calling me to step out and live in this opportunity, in this one moment to take the gospel to the nation. So God intends to use me. I want you to say that to yourself. God intends to use me. God intends to use you. God intends to use me locally, right here, right now, in the marketplace, wherever your foot falls, or to the nations. God intends to use me. The Holy Spirit fills me. So salvation for me, 1978, I trusted Christ, gave my life to him. The Spirit of the living God infilled me. Every single day, though, is an opportunity for me to surrender and yield my fleshly existence under the supernatural work of the Holy Spirit. How does that manifest itself? It manifests itself by living by faith, but certainly it manifests itself in the fruit of the Spirit. That there's a lost world watching every move you make, and our lives should point people to Jesus through gentleness and kindness and love and joy and peace and goodness. All of those things should be pointing people to Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit fills me. The third thing is I owe the gospel to others. You and I are called to take the gospel to the nations. It's the Great Commission. And it's not just for a few select people. It's for all of us. Wherever your foot falls in the morning, take the gospel to others. And then lastly, Jesus and Jesus alone is worth it. He's worth it. He's worth whatever you risk. He's worth whatever you sacrifice. He's worth whatever you give away. He's worth whatever the distance is from your family. He's worth it. He's worth the risk of your life for the glory of God and for the nations to know him. There's 8 billion people on this planet right now. I go to Worldometers about every week just to see how many people there are. And there's almost 1 billion people on the planet today. Okay? Missiologists say that nearly 4 billion of them have never seen this book. Nearly 4 billion of them have never heard the name Jesus. I passed 25 churches from the house I'm staying at to here today. There's a lot of resources in North America for the gospel. And there's a world out there that needs Jesus. And so as a church, there's some things you can do today. Let's pray and we'll go to those. Bow your heads. You can pray and you can give and you can go. Those are your options today. And your church has been supporting our ministry and other ministries across the world to take the gospel. It's an amazing church. It's a giving church. It's a sacrificial church. But I want this to be really, really personal to you today. Okay? You can pray, you can give, or you can go. There's nobody on the sidelines in this deal. We're not on the sidelines. We're not casual anymore. We're not cultural anymore. We're praying for our neighbors and the nations. We're giving for our neighbors and the nations, or we're going to our neighbors and the nations. Okay? That's the invitation. Let me pray. Lord, we love you.
Thank you for joining us online. We hope today's experience encouraged and challenged you. At Champion Forest, we are passionate about all kinds of people coming to know God, to grow in their relationship with Him and others, and then to go out and make a difference in the world. We would love the opportunity to talk and pray with you. To connect with us, just go to championforest.org/connect. And hey, of course, we can't wait to welcome you on campus, in person, on one of our locations. We'll see you soon.